Hi, I'm Ken Kessler, and welcome to the Sounds of Christmas podcast. If you're new to this podcast, I want to start by saying thanks for joining us. If you're not new, welcome back. Either way, I'm glad you're here. Now, to avoid any confusion, I want to start off by saying there won't be any music played here. This is a place for conversation. I'll talk about Christmas music and some related topics, sometimes by myself and sometimes with guests. If you're looking for music, just go to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. We play the best variety of Christmas music all year long. Well, except in October, when we play the best variety of Halloween music. Ken Buno from the band The Tell-Alls is with us on this episode of the Sounds of Christmas podcast. Hi, Ken. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, Ken. It's good to see you today.
Good to have you here. You have some Christmas singles that we want to talk about in a minute, but when you got started, what kind of drove you into the music path?
Well, music really runs in my family. So my dad played guitar, and he was in a band, and got to see them rehearse a number of times. And I guess that's kind of all where it kind of started, on the physical sense. Getting to see him play and see, you know, how people react to music. Pretty thrilling to watch and be like, well, maybe that's something I'd like to try to do.
Was he supportive? Did he encourage you to do this, or did he try and talk you out of it?
Oh, no, I just basically, no one could really tell me yes or no at that point.
Because being an indie artist is tough. And I know that a lot of people who do it said, man, you know, I hope my kids don't want to go down this road because this is hard. It's a hard way to make a living. And not just an indie artist, but you started the band The Tell-Alls and you started a record label called Journeyman Records. So you're all in. Where did the name The Tell-Alls come from?
Before we get to that, I just want to go back to the first part of your question of as far as like making a living as an indie artist. I myself personally always had to supplement my income. So always having other jobs and trying to find a fine balance between music and being creative and, you know, keeping the dollar bills rolling in. And so that's a challenge within itself. And I know I'm not alone in that challenge for any other indie artists out there. They're just nodding their heads. Yeah, I know what that's like. But it's a motivator in itself as well. It keeps you in check of like, do I really want to continue doing this? And for me personally, you know, that fire has always been in my belly, and it seems to always will be in my belly. So then I decided I was originally a drummer, and I was in a couple bands based out of the Philadelphia area. We gained some regional success. You know, we pressed an album. We jumped in our van with boxes of records and toured around, and we made a little noise. But everyone kind of at another not so tall tale, and probably one that's, again, there's other artists out there probably going to shake their head to this. It just got burned out. So I was left to decide, you know, where I wanted to go, what I wanted to do. So I decided to just put my own endeavor out there in The Tell-Alls. Now, The Tell-Alls is really a faux band. I'm a multi-instrumentalist, and I make music under that moniker. So I play guitar, bass, drums. Like I said, the drums were my first instrument, and we'll get back to that particular detail in a second. But wanted to pursue songwriting. So I was all in, sir. You got that right.
You're certainly not the first person or the only one who has a band that is also it's a one man band. Sleeping at Last, Owl City, Five for Fighting. There are a lot of them. People may not realize that it's one guy in there doing all those things. But and everybody's got their reasons for that. Was there something in particular that had you use the name The Tell-Alls versus just going out with your own name?
There was. It was complete fear of failure. I figured, let me try this under a band name. And I always liked band names anyway. Like when I was shopping for records, I'd always set a tone with me. So I tried my best, and it's not an easy task to come up with a band name. You know, many, many short lists, long lists, mulling about what's good, what's not. Tried to go with my gut on it, and I finally came to the conclusion. You know, I was looking at my record collection one day, and I'm like, the music that I want to make, once I want it to reflect kind of like my taste in music, which is all across the board. You know, so if there was like a, you know, pop, folk, rock song that was coming out, you know, I figured, you know, that's like telling it all. You know, there's nothing to stop you from, you know, traveling down whichever road in songwriting. So that's kind of where the inception of that came from, the tell-alls.
And before you got to the tell-alls, when you were in some other bands, you opened up for some amazing, amazing big names. Joe Strummer, leader of The Clash, Sinead O'Connor, Lucinda Williams, Squeeze, the Goo Goo Dolls. Wow.
Yeah, it really is wow. I look back on it and I say wow myself. You know, having been in an indie band and getting those incredible opportunities, and then the end of it is kind of magnifies the disillusionment of not getting to that level. And that's how that goes, you know. It's a great ride. And then, you know, you find yourself home from a tour, doing a leg with Sinead O'Connor, you know, and then picking up a one-off gig in town, opening up for Lucinda Williams, you know. And then, you know, the realization of looking at your bank account and going, well, I got a couple hundred bucks now in my bank after all that. So it's hard. Yeah. But those, I mean, I wouldn't trade for the world all those opportunities and the memories that they're within of those gigs. I mean, you know, not only opening up for Joe Strummer, but, you know, this is like a romantic idea. I'm a huge Clash fan, and he's one of my heroes. You know, to meet the man like in the alleyway loading out of the club and to get to shake his hand. And what do you say to Joe Strummer? But just, you know, a great set. Thanks for all the music. Yeah. You know, that's all I could muster up, but it was a thrill.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if, you know, with all these big names, I know that it's rare that the opening act gets to interact at all with the headliner. Usually it just doesn't happen. And it's not a thing where the headliner is just too big a deal to mess with you little people. It's just how the business works. You get out it there, isn't. You do your set, you get out of the way, and the roadies bring in the stuff for the headliner, and they do their show.
Oh, even more incredible was he thanked us from the stage, Ken.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. The band name is Flight of Mavis. And Flight of Mavis was a three-piece, and then we eventually turned into a four-piece, asking a friend into the band who played guitar, round out our sound. You know, when we were doing the Sinead O'Connor tour, we wanted to have a little bit of a bigger sound, you know, not look like a, you know, a hometown band inserted here, you know, which exactly is how we came to be to get that gig. Her boyfriend at the time was touring around as a support opening act, and they broke up. And she just happened to be, that happened like right before the Philly show at the Mann Music Center. So, you know, we had some pretty influential management at the time that kind of put our name in the hat and turned out on top, and history was made as far as I was concerned. So that's how that worked out. It was very cool.
Yeah, very, very cool. Now, you got these new Christmas songs that are, I was going to say that they're coming out, but they're sort of going wide. And I want to talk about those in a second, but they're not your first Christmas songs. Tell-All's put out an EP called Bright Lights of Christmas a while back.
Ah, yes, we did. I did.
That was one of your earliest releases under the name The Tell-Alls. Any particular thing that made you want to put out some original Christmas songs?
Yeah, it was it turned out to be a follow-up to what was the debut, which was entitled Feeding Frenzy. And there was the idea of going out and trying to support that, at least in the Philly area, to go out and play gigs and stuff, which I did play some gigs. I put a band together, some friends that I knew also coming up in the Philly music scene that we gigged with, you know, so there was a camaraderie within that scene. So calling up a few of my buddies, saying, hey, would you get together? You know, we'll rehearse a few times. We'll do this gig. So it was a lot of fun. And, you know, of course, it was hard to gain traction that way since I wasn't a real band. And how many times can you call in a favor? You know, everybody else has got all other things going on in their personal lives and their creative world. So I was trying to figure out what my next step was. And it just, after brainstorming, I was like, I think I want to try to write some holiday music, Christmas music. I mean, it's one of those things that ensures that it comes back around at the very least, you know, yeah. Even if it's just for my own personal collection, because, you know, there might be a misnomer that people see artists listening to their own music. And that's not necessarily the case. But when it comes down to holiday music, Christmas songs, you can throw your stuff in the mix and you can kind of, you know, grin and bear it and be like, I remember writing that's cool, you know, and maybe have it followed by a classic and a Nat King Cole or something.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, because it is so true, and people don't want to think about that artists are going to want to listen to their own stuff at Christmas time. But Aretha Franklin decided to record her only Christmas album 2006, 2007, somewhere in there, because it was getting to be Christmas time and they were listening in her home to some Christmas music while they're making, you know, whatever kind of holiday meals. And she thought, you know, we should be listening to my Christmas music.
There you go.
So I'm going to make some. And she just, and I think that's terrific. And sure, if Aretha can do it, why not the tell-alls, right?
Right. You can ask yourself, what took her so long, you know? But yeah, it's never too late. It's never too late. And thank God for that.
Yeah. So Bright Lights of Christmas, My Favorite Holiday, and Season of Joy were the three songs that made up the EP Bright Lights of Christmas. That's on your Bandcamp page still. Shortly after this, I don't know exactly how long, you packed up and went to Nashville.
Yeah, I sure did. That's where I reside today. My wife and I, we live just north of Nashville in Hendersonville.
And Nashville's a big songwriting town. Is that why you went there?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You're right. It is a huge songwriting town. And that is partially the reason why I came. Yeah, you know, being a musician, you know, and people who knew me as a musician, they'd ask me, you know, you're gonna go and, you know, become a famous drummer. I'm just like, I know that's not going to happen. I mean, it's like world-class musicians here. You shake a tree, a great singer falls out, guitar player, you know. My thing was definitely songwriting. You know, I caught the bug when I got the tell-alls up and going, and just wanted to continue that and feel like if I just, at the very least, walked around town like a sponge, you know, just kind of soaking everything up, at the very least, something good had happened. And, you know, here I am talking with you, sir, 12 years later. So I like to think something good did happen.
Well, thank you. I hope better things than being on this podcast happen for you, but I appreciate
that too.
The three most recent Christmas songs the tell-alls have done, Magic of Christmas, Christina, Christmas Baby, and It's Christmas Time, also on the Bandcamp page and soon available everywhere.
Yes. Last year, I had been winding down my seasonal job, which ends, I worked at a venue here in town, and was winding down around this time of year. And I had it in my mind, you know, that I was like, I've been meaning to write more Christmas songs and record them. And I was just coming down to the wire, but it wasn't I wasn't deterred. I'm like, I'm going to do this. And so between, again, around this time, early November till December 9th, I think was the official release date on It's Christmas Time. I got that one done first and in time enough to get it to the streaming platforms to where it was actually before Christmas. So I pushed that one forward and had success in that. But the other two, I just launched on the website. I didn't have time. You know, there's a lead time. If the listeners don't know about releasing music digitally, you know, you submit it and then there's a lead time to get it actually into the Spotify's of the world. So I didn't have that lead time. So I figured I would just wait till the following year, which is 2023 now, the Magic of Christmas and Christina Christmas Baby are coming out on all streaming platforms. The Christina tune is coming out on November 17th. And the Magic of Christmas is coming out the following week on Black Friday, which was strategic because lyrically in that song, The Magic of Christmas, it kind of plays into that consumerism in a way of Black Friday. So I figured, well, I'm just going to offset that one and just, you know, for the fun of it, have that come out a week later on the 24th of November.
Is Christina Christmas Baby autobiographical at all?
No, that is as pure like fiction. I don't have any kids. My wife and I, we don't have kids, but I was thinking about the concept of the song. It just kind of hit me. And I was thinking, I don't think I've ever heard a Christmas song that gave a nod to those who were born on Christmas and you know, get to celebrate their birthday on Christmas Day. And I thought, that's, you know, that's a constant annual maybe rub for some, you know. So I wanted at least maybe in a commiserating way or give it a nod and be like, you know, write a song about what that might be like.
Yeah, I bet there are plenty of Christmas babies who feel like they get screwed Christmas time. Here's a present for you that counts as your birthday present and your Christmas present.
Exactly.
That's not necessarily all, but I remember, I think it was Jimmy Buffett was a Christmas baby. And I remember him saying something about that, you know, it's tough being born on Christmas Day because everything is for you and nothing is for you.
Yes. Oh my God. And the frustration there within, you know, it's like you're reminded of it annually. So
yeah,
it never goes away.
Yeah. And, you know, when you're a kid, you're not in school for your birthday, which is, which can be a blessing, but you know, it's got to be tough, but I can't think of any songs that address that.
It's a fun kind of, it's an up tempo. I was told, you know, by one blog that reviewed it, a very like a 90s feel, you know, guitar driven up tempo tune. Which I'll take, you know, that's actually probably pretty accurate now that I hear someone chime in about it being like an influence of like 90s music rock, guitar driven rock. It was fun to record. All the songs happened quick to get back to tie up that end of the story of writing the songs. They all kind of came quick. And so that typically is a good signifier that you know that maybe you've got some kind of lightning in a bottle there. So I just ran with it. I just like, I'm gonna, you know, mix these songs, I'm gonna release them and out into the world, and there you have it.
So you've got these three plus the earlier three on Bright Lights of Christmas. Have you thought about putting all six of these together along with maybe some new ones for a Christmas album in the future?
You never know, Ken. Yeah. I mean, I haven't given it a great deal of thought, but that surely is something that is possible, very possible. You know, I thought maybe if the time and presented itself, financially presented itself, it'd be cool to have like the artwork represented somehow of a double album kind of thing because I'm crazy about the artwork. I try to do, I have some influence on it, and I do a lot of it on my own. But when the song It's Christmas Time came out last year, as I said, it went out to the streaming platforms. You obviously need artwork to be able to release it. So I asked a co-writer friend whose daughter is very artistic, if she'd be interested in coming up with something, you know. She kind of made a little sketching of a doodle, is how she put it, but it came out really cool on another song that I wrote with her mom called Pace the Pesos, and I incorporated it into a video I put together. And I always thought that was really cool what she did, so I approached her about this. And as a matter of fact, I know the listeners can't see this, but I got the artwork here made up in a canvas. you can check it out online. It's up there right now. If you search it on your iTunes, Apple Music, Spotify, the artwork's there. It's very cool. Her name's Jasmine Drake, and she doesn't do it professionally. She saw it as a fun project, and I was just overjoyed of what she came up with. So it's just kind of, you know, when you see artwork before you hear music, it again, it sets a tone before you hear what you're about to hear. And I thought it tied together really well, and I was ecstatic over it. So
it's really cute when you take a look at it, and in the lower corner, I'm guessing that's you with a guitar.
I guess that's, you know,
supposed to be.
Yeah, how she saw me within her bit.
And it's called It's Christmas Time, and then there's these little scenes all around it of things at Christmas time, and there's a couple kids waiting in line to see Santa, and there's somebody in the kitchen, there's a turkey. So it's very cute. You can see it on the Tell All's Bandcamp page, and I'll put a link to that down in the show notes. That's part of the reason that we're releasing this today, because it's Bandcamp Friday. So I wanted to have you on and talk about that. And for those who don't know, on Bandcamp Friday, Bandcamp waives their fees, so the artists get more when you buy and download their music. And all six of the Tell All's Christmas songs are on Bandcamp, and you could go get them all today, right now. Well, but click the link after you finish listening to this podcast. Click the link, and you can go over there and you can grab them. You have a new song also on the way. It's on the way later this month, isn't it?
It is. It's the same date as Christina Christmas Baby comes out on the 17th of November. It is part of, I'll call it a debut single, because like you had mentioned, it's going under my name, Ken Buono, and it's a single that is also going to appear on a full-length acoustic-based release that I'm putting the finishing touches on, and I'm leaning towards an early 2024 release on. Now, the single is a cover song, a Van Morrison cover, Into the Mystic, which is a great, great song. I always love that song. And I never really thought I would put out a cover, but I worked up this arrangement just kind of came to me, a little different than the original. And I was just like, okay, I like hearing this. I like playing this. I think I want to try to just continue down the path and finish the song. And I reached out to a musician here in town who played on It's Christmas Time a bunch of cool instruments. His name's Jim Hoke from The Floating Zone. Bit of a sought after kind of Nashville cat kind of guy. So I was just over the moon that was able to get him to play on my stuff. He plays ukulele, toy piano, bass guitar, sleigh bells, wood blocks on the It's Christmas Time single. And he plays pedal steel on this Van Morrison cover, Into the Mystic, and bass guitar. And I played everything else. And I think it came out pretty cool. And like I said, it's going to be like the first single teaser, if you will, to a bigger project, 10, maybe 12 song full length project. I'm scheduled to come out early next year, 2024.
So Into the Mystic will be out in just a few weeks, and under your name, Ken Buono.
Yes.
And the album that's coming from, early 2024, releasing this under your name, does that mean it's the end of the tell-alls?
Well, I decided to do, you know, I molded that over. I decided to go with putting it under my name. The acoustic project will reflect some of the co-writes that I've done here in Nashville. So it won't be just myself on some of these songs, having a hand in writing them. And so that was a little different from the tell-alls, as it were. So in an ironic way, I decided, you know, I'm just going to run with this with my name, and then we'll just, you know, have the co-writers' names out there. It's not hiding behind a faux band name. It's just, It is what it is.
New album out in early 2024. You've got Christmas songs coming out, the Van Morrison single, and then the new album. So forgive me for asking, but what's after that? Or do you know?
What is after that? This is a good question. I'm hoping to be able to go out and play live more than I have. Just been kind of hunkered down with the recording process, which I love. You know, I pretty much produce most of my music and record most of my music. This record, this album is coming out under my name. It's currently untitled. I did go into the studio to mix with a great engineer, Drew Carroll, out of a studio in East Nashville, a bomb shelter. Great, great studio. Drew's awesome. It's sounding great. So definitely a perfect match. I'm really happy with the way it's going. And basically getting out there and playing. You know, you'll hear that time again. I saw something online. Dave Grohl it was one of these Instagram reels or something. You know, people would ask him this or that about the music business. And, you know, and the idea of song contest came out, and he said, just get out there and play live. And then just kind of like reminded me, yeah, that's exactly right. Just get out there and play.
Any Christmas shows coming up?
I'm trying. I am, you know, with each day that goes by, you know, I'm like, I hear the clock ticking, but I am trying to network on some possible Christmas gigs. Might be the easiest way that it comes together in a funny way to try to get back to Philadelphia, visit home, see friends, family, have a Christmas gig, call up some of those friends, some ex-tell-all members, if you will, and all get together. That would be a joyous occasion. So I'm working on that. And if not, you know, maybe I can at least find my way into some picking parties here in Nashville and strum away and sing away.
You know, I've mentioned Bandcamp several times. The Tellalls have a website also, thetellalls.com, and I'll put a link in the show notes for that too. And I mentioned that because you can hear a little piece of Into the Mystic, the new single that's coming out. And there's a place also to keep up with Ken's upcoming shows when he starts to book some Christmas shows. If you're going to be in the Nashville area or maybe Philly, wherever he's going to be, you'll find out when you click that. So I'll put a link to that in the show notes too. What's the best way for people to keep up with you?
The website is probably the best way, thetellalls.com. There's a place to subscribe your email address, and that's going to probably be the most efficient way to keep people informed directly. Now, there's always the Instagrams and the Facebooks of the world. I'm on Facebook, Ken Buno Music, and also the Tellalls on Facebook and Instagram, once again, at Ken Buno Music and at the Tellalls. So those are awesome ways to stay in tune as well. And to, you know, say, hey, what's going on?
Yeah, if you go to the Tellalls website, and again, it's thetellalls.com, you scroll down, you'll see the place where you can sign up for the newsletter, and just below that are links to the YouTube channel and Facebook and Instagram and all that kind of stuff. So you can find that and figure out whichever is your favorite. Go to that and you can keep up with Ken as well. Very cool. Ken, thanks so much for joining us today.
I can't thank you enough, Ken. I really appreciate it. It's great spending this time with you. And I want to wish you a very early Merry, Merry Christmas. You know, I'm excited, and I know you're excited. So we can share in that.
I am. Thank you. And thank you so much for listening and for continuing to support the Sounds of Christmas station and podcast. I already told you how to listen to the station, and you're listening to the podcast now. So my work here is just about done. All of our episodes are available on the Sounds of Christmas website. Just click the podcast tab. And we also have a Linktree page with most, if not all, of the sites that stream this podcast. So you can go there and find your favorite, and then you can subscribe, and you'll never miss another episode. If you have comments or suggestions on this episode, previous episodes, or the Sounds of Christmas Station, feel free to reach out to me on social media or through the website. Thanks again, and may you always believe in Santa Claus.